the name of our all-loving God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. Happy New Year! Don't laugh at me. This is the beginning of the church year, which always begins every year on the first Sunday of Advent, the season in which we prepare for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. With the change of season, we've changed the liturgical colors. Can't you see the beautiful blue vestments? And we've lit the Advent wreath, and we've changed our hymns and responses and prayers. And we begin reading from Matthew's Gospel. The word Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which means an expectant coming or arrival. Advent anticipates the coming of Christ the Messiah, his first coming as a child in Bethlehem, baby Jesus, some 2,000 years ago, and his predicted coming again at the end of time. In today's readings, we are told, rather briskly, to wake up. You know what time it is. Get out of bed. Now is the time for you to wake up from sleep, says St. Paul. And even Jesus gets into the act. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. The focus of our lessons is on waking up, being alert and aware. Our collect asks that we be given grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We get ready for Christmas by first shaking ourselves awake. This is apocalyptic writing, a style used by biblical writers to remind hearers of two simultaneous and self-correcting messages. One, everything matters immensely. And two, it really doesn't matter at all. Let's understand something from the beginning. Jesus' language in this reading is metaphor and mystery. Remember that we read scripture with the knowledge that Jesus didn't have a scribe taking down his words. The first Christians thought they were on the threshold of Jesus' return and made plans accordingly. And that's what Paul is saying. Our salvation is near. At the same time, the community to which Matthew was writing encountered opposition and hostility, trying to live out Jesus' message of loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves, and trying to show that Jesus was filling the Torah, not creating something new. Matthew writes these words, our text today, nearly 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Words which had been remembered in the early community of Christians in Antioch, modern-day Syria, where there was a large Jewish Christian community. He writes these words as comfort and consolation and assurance that Jesus would indeed return, because now years had passed and the community was pretty anxious. What the early Christians didn't understand was that no one would know when Jesus would return. Another piece we need to remember is that God's time is not linear as ours is, which is really hard for us clock and calendar-oriented folks to grapple with. God's time is expansive, inclusive, and boundless. The words of the psalmist come to mind. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past. Or from 2 Peter, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. So we don't know when Jesus is coming back. There are many Christians who speculate about Jesus' return. In fact, there's been a cottage industry around predicting when Jesus would come back. There's the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye, a series of books which anticipated when Jesus would return and who among would be the chosen ones to return to heaven with him. And there was a pastor, maybe some of you remember, from a few years ago, named Harold Camping, who predicted that Jesus would come again first in September 1994. And when that didn't happen, his next date was May 2011. He died in 2013. So here we are in 2019. Jesus has not come back, and we are as confused as the first century Christians. But we do know about uncertainty and surprise and unexpected events. So what if we updated the examples Jesus employs just a bit? Two colleagues were working. One was diagnosed with cancer, the other was not. Two candidates applied for a job. One was chosen, and one was not. Two couples were joined in marriage on the same day. One stayed married, the other did not. Our lives are filled with unexpected, surprising, and life-altering events. And in the midst of all of this, we are invited, actually commanded, to keep watch for the presence of God that we know in Jesus. This isn't always easy, especially when the unexpected event is tragic. Sometimes you have to wait a while to see where God is at work, and that can be painfully hard. Yet the promise throughout the scriptures is that God reliably meets us at our point of greatest need and accompanies us even and especially in the most difficult of circumstances. As we know, watching and waiting are difficult for us, at least as difficult as it was for Jesus' earliest followers, which I assume is one of the main reasons we come to church. That is, straining to see God at work in the ups and downs of our lives, we come to church to hear these words of exhortation and encouragement read once again. And we come to church to be surrounded by other Christians, some of whom are struggling to see God, and some of whom have recently seen God and can share with us what they've seen. At the heart of this gospel from Matthew is, keep awake, be ready. Not in order to worry about whether we will be taken or left. Worrying about that is not being awake or ready. There are some clues in the rest of Matthew's gospel about what it means to be ready. Glimpses of what wide-awake living looks like. See if you recognize them. Love your enemies. Pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Don't judge others. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. In Matthew's understanding of the gospel, the second coming doesn't cause us to quit the job of being the church in the world. It causes us to take it up with even more urgency. It's easy to become absorbed in our own everyday lives, in our work, in the needs of our families, in our eating and drinking, especially at this time of the year. It's easy to be distracted by many things. It's harder to keep awake. It's harder to be mindful, to live mindfully. Yet that is what this gospel asks us to do. That's what the season of Advent can help us practice, because God might show up without an appointment. Now here's a suggestion for keeping Advent differently. What if all of us who are genuinely waiting for God would engage others in our community, both here at St. Paul's and out in the world, by telling our own story? What are we thinking about? questions that we have. What feelings get stirred up by the gospel today? What do we long to hear? What are our wildest dreams, and where does our holy imagining lead us? What are our deepest hopes? It's a season of movement and journeying, a season that carries with it a sense of leaving some place behind and going to a place we long to reach. Advent sings to us of birth, unshaped possibilities, and offers us this counsel. Be alert, keep awake, not just to keep the intruder out, but to let him in and realize just how that intrusion might lead us to an amazing discovery about the God who comes to us in our waiting. Something extraordinary is about to happen. We don't know exactly when, but we'd better be prepared. God just might show up without an appointment.